Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. And tonight, the theme is Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy. And there'll be a lot of news, commentary, analysis, humor, and a great and extensive playlist that I hope to get to all of it this evening, and plenty to get through. So I'm going to start right off with the music before talking. I'm going to start off with a song from the 70s, and I thought, since there is a Manson theme, and there'll be some memorabilia and history and discussion towards that, as well as the people who he influenced, like Reagan, the Contras, and other Central American torturers and civilian massacrists of large numbers of civilians. But there'll also be some about old Chuck himself, since some people have been asking for that. So I thought, since there is a Manson theme, why not start the music off with this song?
You do, you won't go wrong. Oh no, this is our family jewel. We are family. Coming! I can't do anything! Yeah. Thank you. Hey, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know.
Okay, gonna play a song for the children of Charlie, the new generation of religious zealots who similarly are masking themselves as advocates of peace and love and biblical prophecy, but in reality are younger versions of the American Christian Taliban, Jim Baker's son, Jay Baker, Rock for Life, the anti-abortion group, and the XXX Church, who infest the conferences of the worst element, the unfortunate element of the adult world, adult video news conferences, who actually allow these assholes to set a table up at their functions. So this goes out to Charlie's children, the new cultists, and people who are linked to the anti-abortion and Christian terrorists. The band is called Corporate Avenger, and this track is called Christians Murdered Indians.
Even in the initial stages of contact between European Christians and Native Indian people, the stage was set for ethnocentrism, and the attitude towards the Indians was that of Christian superiority. The Indians were read a proclamation in Spanish which they had no hope of understanding. They had no hope of understanding the death sentence they were being read, and it went something like this. We ask you and require you to acknowledge the church as the ruler and superior of the whole world, and the high priest called Pope, and in his name the King of Spain as lords of this land. If you submit, we shall receive you in all love and charity, and shall leave you, your wives and children, and your lands free without servitude. But if you do not submit, we shall powerfully enter into your country, and shall make war against you. We shall take you and your wives and your children, and shall make slaves of them, and we shall take away your goods, and shall do you all the harm and damage we can. Do not misknow we were all tribal. In the missionaries with the fucking Bible. 1492 began the termination. The Holocaust never in the end nation.
Thank you. He put us here in the universe. He gave us our minds. He gave us all these tools to exist and survive within
the war on drugs is a war on people. And people's rights are being violated. And you're incarcerating and caging human beings, oftentimes who are simply victims of the sickness of addiction, who have become sucked up into this giant war on drugs, which is in fact a crime against humanity. A crime against humanity.
Okay, you heard. Corporate Avenger doing Christians Murdered Indians. Before that, the Lemonheads did Clang Bang Clang. Black Flag did I've Heard It Before and American Waste. And started off with Sister Sledge. We are family. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live every Sunday night from 9 to 11 or so at RadioVolta.org. And simultaneously broadcast live at infidelguy.com from 9 to 11 sharp. And at Radio Volta, or not at Radio Volta, at infidelguy.com, the show is also rebroadcast, the portions done up until 11, throughout the week. And the show will be archived at the new Reverend Bookburn page, which is fullgospelranch.com/RevBookburn, and then audio archives. If you want to write to me, write RevBookburn@fullgospelranch.com. And again, tonight's show will be in the archives. The theme of tonight's show is Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy. And there'll be some talk about that coming up. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any lifestyle or orientation, including those from the transgendered and kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic, fundamentalist, or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. Next week, the theme will be Payback Corporate Welfare, and there'll be talk about the recipients of corporate welfare and the scapegoating of people who receive the small-time entitlements, welfare, food stamps, etc. And there'll be some new revelations and experience from the Reverend Bookburn's other hat as a social worker. And also coverage of corporate crime and definitely a lack of documentation. You pretty much write your life story if one is applying for food stamps or something, but the recipients of billions of tax dollars in corporate welfare have little to no accountability, including the bullshit measures that have recently been done by the Bush regime in the name of pushing for corporate accountability. That'll be next Sunday night, August 25th. The following Sunday, not sure. There's a couple of ideas in my head for Labor Day weekend show in 2 weeks, and in 3 and 4 weeks, the Sundays before and after the anniversary of September 11th, that'll be September 8th and September 15th, the themes will be parts 1 and 2 of Remember September 11th, Forget the Media Hype. And so we will cut through the bullshit, we will cut through the Bush speeches, the corporate propaganda machine that's called a media or journalism, and when in fact it's reduced to little more than tabloids and networks of cheerleaders, and no disrespect intended to real cheerleaders. And that will be September 8th and 15th. The theme was decided upon because in a similar way to the bullshit coverage of September 11th, the hysteria surrounding it, the information covered up, most notably the fact that the Bush regime knew in advance that it was coming down, and all of the parts left out of the corporate media's reporting of that event, as well as the framing of it in nationalist terms. And instead of it being a human tragedy, it was a report on an attack on us, when in fact there is no us. And people understandably responding emotionally, but unwittingly getting behind, figuratively, the president by a coup, and the people whom he still serves, which are the figureheads of corporate America. So, in a similar way to the bullshit coverage of September 11th, if you go back to 1969, when the Manson case first started making headlines and sending shockwaves, the world was fascinated by the story, not just because of how bizarre it was, but because it represented the ultimate human tragedy, really savagely executed murders, and a torture slaying of Gary Hinman, and of course the famous Tate LaBianca murders, the murder of Shorty Shea, and probably numerous others, probably attorney Ronald Hughes and other people. And what was incredible was that, as inhuman as that act was, it was actually small potatoes compared to the torture deaths of hundreds of thousands of people after that, without the consent of the American people, through tax dollars, through covert actions operatives, through the Central Intelligence Agency, and through mercenaries that were financed by the U.S., the people who trained and assisted and pumped millions of dollars into Al-Qaeda so they could fight the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, the people who armed, trained, and financed the Contra terror war in Nicaragua in the 80s, and the people who financed the African Contra war, most notably in Angola, setting up the most landmines than any other nation in the world, the nation with the highest rate of people who lost limbs through landmines, and people who've been tortured, murdered, mostly civilians, mostly as an attack on the economic infrastructures of governments that the U.S. government and corporate America did not like. Governments that did not express a willingness to set up sweatshops to deplete its natural resources for the profit of multinational corporations and to repress its nations, which is not to say all of the nations who did that were okay, but just that they were not acting in the interests of U.S. corporations. But the severity of atrocities matched that of the victims of Helter Skelter, but in a much larger scale. Therefore, what we have is one of the most profound abuses of the media, because we don't know the names of all the people who were killed by Washington bullets. We don't get the details and the names of everybody tortured in El Salvador and Nicaragua who were civilians killed by U.S.-backed death squads who were trained in the U.S. at the School of the Americas. Therefore, that is profound reason number one why the hype around the Manson case is so ridiculous. And reason number two was he was projected as some kind of major figure of the 60s. And anyone who knows anything about the 60s, and that does not include Time Life Warner or any other propaganda pushers, was that he was as much of a bullshit person back then as he was ever since. He was no leader of the 60s. He was not somebody who was popularly supported during his trials. The counterculture of the 60s was not a movement that supported him in his trials. Pretty much nobody outside of his own group supported him during his trials. But the media tried to make it like he was leader or king of the hippies. And indeed, that reveals a part of the reason why his case was so saturating in the media, because the case was used as a means to attack the counterculture and the political movements of the 60s. It was a part of an effort to kill the 60s and the movements that were built up. And the third thing was that Manson himself was not only a product of this culture, the prison system, the Bible, the racism in this culture and in the prison system, and the violence in the prison system were his family, not a bunch of hippies. He was raised in prisons, and he was raised within the bowels of the ultimate manifestations of the ugliness of this culture. And that's who his family was. He was sexually abused in prison, and the books written about him remain clueless. Actually, I haven't seen one intelligent book written about him, because they're saying, well, it couldn't be the sexual abuse or being imprisoned so much in childhood or being around this and that, because other people have gone through that and nobody reacted with by such extremes. And that's a load of shit also, because many people do react to abuse with violence, and many people do develop mental illness, and he most certainly was mentally ill. But he went further because he was encouraged, because he became a cult leader. And even that component does not make him a person who stands out. In fact, nothing about this case makes him a person who stands out. The inhumanity of him is but a smidgen of the atrocities of U.S. foreign policy. And it is not strange, or he does not stand out, that he became a cult leader who was able to program people and even get them to commit extreme acts for him, because he was encouraged. When a deranged person becomes a leader, the people following and reinforcing that person allow that person's ego and power trip and mental illness to escalate and intensify. And that certainly did not stop with Manson. If you need evidence of that statement, feel free to switch on the Christian Broadcasting Network. Feel free to read the Army of God manual for anti-abortion terrorists. Feel free to check out the new generation of Christian extremists, the XXX Church, There's too many to even name. And it's not even strange for these kinds of people to try to infest the countercultures of rock and roll music scenes. Go to a concert today, and you'll see Jesus cultists handing out tracts, who may as well be Charlie, saying, "Come into our trip. Let us recruit you. Let us reprogram you." And if you go to a rainbow gathering, there will be probably two or three hundred different varieties of nutcases who seek to manipulate others in the name of spirituality and mysticism and Santa Clausism and magic and whatever else. So yes, the countercultures are especially a stomping grounds for people who want to recruit others into their madness, even if they're not seeking money. And also, the Manson phenomenon did not stop in the 60s, because when you look at people who get ridiculous behind leaders from any kind of religious belief system, the Islamic extremists, the Christian extremists, you see that there is about 5 cents worth of difference. There is very little difference in the Manson prisoners who became born-again Christians. When people expressed shock in the mid-70s, like, how could such a sweeping transformation take place? The answer is pretty obvious. It was about a half of a baby step from being in the Manson cult to becoming a born-again Christian. And in one of the best writers of the whole Manson story, Paul Krasner, he noted that when he was reading Susan Atkins' accounts of becoming born again, that her rhetoric was almost identical, that it was as if she cut and pasted the names and just switched Manson's name with Jesus. It was definitely very little transformation at all, but a mild baby step between being a Manson follower and being a born-again Christian, something that happened to Susan Atkins, Charles Watson, Bruce Davis, and I think a couple of the other ones. So I'm going to play some music and get back to this subject. And we also have video reviews. There's some news. We'll check in with Pastor Tammy, who is instant messaging. And the Reverend Bookburn site is updated, so you can get the playlist from last Sunday night at fullgospelranch.com/RevBookburn. Gonna play a song for the Manson buffs, the Manson collectors, and I'm gonna give you an alternative to the collection of Manson memorabilia later tonight that'll be even more gruesome and freaky. But I heard from some people who are into that, so I guess the promo of tonight's show got forwarded around a lot. I'm going to play a song by Sonic Youth with Lydia Lunch. This is called Death Valley 69. We're going to talk a little later about the real 60s, not the bullshit Time Life Warner 60s, or even the MTV 60s. And the kind of reclaiming of the counterculture and some real resources and books you can pick up that document the 1960s as they were, and a few real symbols of resistance and alienation, as opposed to a psychotic cult leader who is in actuality a dime a dozen. A part of the 60s that is also on the strange side and still making records is a guy named Michael Hurley. And he didn't get a lot of attention, especially after the 60s. But he continued to make records, and he continued to be a very strange guy. This song is from around 1991, and it's called National Weed Growers Association.
Oh, we plant the seed, and then we grow the weed, and we pull the weed, and we sell the green. We trade some mumble kerosene, that's cold juice for. When you grow the weed, you gotta hide it away. Young drunk punks will steal it today. If it ain't them punks, it's the authorities pulling my weed and stepping on my bees. Spring, we fertilize with anything, and we haul the water if the rain don't fall. We pray the Lord will make a call on us. It's against the law, we know, you ancient. In the streets of D.C., it's a rich fool's vice. And I know it's good herb for you and I. You know I wrote this song while I was high on the weed. If you puff the weed, you're nothing but a slave. Charmer's fool and the charm's fool for snakes. A bunch of morbid vipers buzz laying round shit
not think about love. Don't think about bright moons, twinkling stars, red wine, silent whispers, holding hands, secret love letters.
Not think about pure sex, deep sex, hard sex, rough sex, go!
Okay, gonna play a song from Charlie himself, and actually you're gonna hear two songs. One is recorded by Manson, and the other was a kind of a remaking of that song by those cult-loving Beach Boys, who, interestingly enough, went from being Manson groupies in 1968 to playing at Daddy Bush's inaugural ball in 81. So as you can see, they didn't like small-time murderers. By the time the 80s came around, they liked people who were guilty of murdering thousands much more. And but we'll play the track that they did, the remake of this Manson song. This song is from the Lie album, and it is called Cease to Exist.
Pretty girl, pretty, pretty girl. Cease to exist. Just come and say you love me. Give up your world. Come on, you can't be. I'm your kind, oh, your kind, I can see. Walk on, walk on. I love you, pretty girl. My life is yours, and you can have my world. Never had a lesson I ever learned. But I know we all get our turn. I love you. Never learn not to love you. Submission is a gift. Go on, give it to your brother. Love and understanding is for one another. I'm your kind. I'm your kind, I'm your brother. I never had a lesson I ever learned. But I know we all get our turn. And I love you. Never learn not to love you. Never learn not to love you. Never learn not to love you.
Love and understanding. Mother.
Don't you head out, Mother, me. What are all those people doing out there? Come on, what have you been up to, my lad?
I think they must have popped by for something.
Popped by? Sworn by, more like. There's a multitude out there.
They started following me yesterday.
Well, they can stop following you right now. Now, stop following my son. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Is arrested and taken before Pilate, where he is sentenced to be crucified.
Yes, could you do that one just once more? Make it a bit lighter, please.
What?
A little bit lighter.
Lighter?
Yes.
Silly?
No. just lighter, okay?
Brian is arrested and taken before Pilate, where he is sentenced to be crucified.
Yes, I think that had many things going for it. Do you think heavier is
right.
The keynote?
You'd rather go back to the heavier.
Yes,
Brian is arrested and taken before Pilate, where he is sentenced to be crucified.
Very good. Lunch, everybody.
Hail, Caesar! Hail! The crowd outside are getting a bit restless, sir. Permission to disperse them, please?
Disperse them? But I haven't addressed them yet.
No, I know, sir, but...
May I address is one of the high points of the Passover. My friend Biggus Dickus has come all the way from Rome just to hear it.
Hail, Caesar! Hail, Caesar! Are you not thinking of giving it a miss this year, then, sir?
Give it a miss?
Well, it's just that they're in a rather funny mood today, sir.
Really, Centurion? I'm surprised to hear a man like you rattled by a rabble of rowdy rebels.
A bit thundery, sir.
Pick him away.
I'm a Roman. I can prove it honestly.
And crucify him well.
I really wouldn't, sir.
Out of the way, Centurion.
Let me come with you, Pontius. I may be of some assistance if there is a sudden crisis.
Crucifixion?
Yes.
Good. Out of the door. Light.
Okay. You heard Monty Python from the soundtrack of Life of Brian doing He's a Very Naughty Boy. And Pilate sentences Brian. Before that, the Beach Boys did a Manson song, Never Learn Not to Love. Charles Manson did Cease to Exist, actually the same song. The Lords of Acid did Rough Sex from their Lust CD. Michael Hurley did National Weed Growers Association and started off with Sonic Youth with Lydia Lunch doing Death Valley 69. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight's theme is Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy. And in our last episode, we were saying that it was a kind of a ripping off of the counterculture, in addition to using this case as a means to destroy the counterculture and movements of the 60s. It was also kind of a ripping it off by trying to make him the alternative, the icon for the alienated and disaffected young people, when in reality he was a product of the value system of this culture, the Bible, the racism and inhumanity of the prisons, the sexual abuse that he himself went through in the prison system in childhood. And so he was a product of this value system, similar to the white power people. But more than that, more than becoming one of the Frankensteins of this culture, he was also, according to research by Paul Krasner and others, manipulated at the time when the Manson cult was getting increasingly crazy and increasingly violent. They were perceived as people who were ready to attack the Black Panthers, and it was Paul Krasner who found the one sheriff, I believe from Shoshone, one of the last people to deal with the Manson cult before the big arrests, where Krasner was informed that they were told to lay off the Manson cult with the belief that they were going to attack the Black Panthers. And there was even an article in Rolling Stone at some point in the 70s, not that I read that magazine, but there was one article that even stated that there was infiltration and people trying to nurture the madness that was already going on, and training, and even providing some training and some weaponry under the belief that it would be used to attack the Black Panthers. And that would be consistent with the way things were done in those days. There were dozens of assassinations of Black Panthers by law enforcement and FBI personnel, and infiltrating and manipulating organizations was definitely a part of how they operated at the time, and still do. And so if that is true, that would be historically consistent. But he was definitely allowed to stay on the streets because they believed he would attack the Black Panthers. But I want to take issue with the media making him the ultimate symbol of rebellion, or a kind of an icon for the alienated. That is just as much bullshit as letting him be the representative of the 60s, or worse, portraying him as some kind of leader of the 60s. Actually, there were no people who were leaders of the 60s. People outside of bands who had strong voices and were well-influenced, John Lennon Paul Kantner from Jefferson Airplane and others may have been strong voices, but they weren't leaders. But the truly strong voices were the named people, and the books that better represent the 60s are books like Woodstock Nation by Abbie Hoffman, Steal This Book, which you can get now, re-released, Steal This Book from 1971 by Abbie Hoffman, and the reissue of that with the great introduction and the original pictures is at Four Walls, Eight Windows, 4w8w.com, Guitar Army by John Sinclair, and The 60s Papers, which was edited by Stu Albert and Judy Gumbo, and that's findable online. Stu Albert's Yippie Reading Room, which is findable by search engine, and when the Reverend Bookburn links are added to the Reverend page, which I believe is going to be soon, that will be one of the links, Stu Albert's Yippie Reading Room, and there is where the 60s Papers book remains available. Okay, for the Manson memorabilia freak, or people who believe that he is some kind of philosopher or something like that, I can't even say that without laughing, but for the Manson collector, no matter where he or she is coming from, I had an idea. If you really want some gore and some blood and crunch and great memorabilia, you can find one of the anti-interventionist groups from the 80s who were working to stop the military interventions in Central America and get pictures of the tortured and murdered civilians in Nicaragua and El Salvador. And you could probably get some really good stuff. There was beheadings, there were body parts cut off, there were ears, and there's even an old episode of Miami Vice that you can track down and find. And I'll put this on the mailing list if I can find it. There's even some TV freak that you can order old episodes from in North Jersey that sells episodes of ancient TV shows. The episode of Miami Vice is called Stone's War, and it stars, of all people, G. Gordon Liddy, or guest stars G. Gordon Liddy, and he plays a mercenary thug. How's that for casting? And he is trying to get support in Washington circles for the Contra War. And part of his way to convince the investors that it's a winnable war is by throwing a large collection of Nicaraguan ears onto the table. Well, he calls them Sandinista ears, but that's hardly likely since the Sandinistas kicked the shit out of the Contras whenever they got into battles. Another reason why the Contras chose instead to attack daycare centers, Red Cross centers, literacy programs, farm co-ops, and the like, and decided to go after the economic infrastructure instead of the Sandinista army that they could not beat. So in Stone's War, in that episode of Miami Vice, you can get to see disembodied ears from Nicaraguans, and that's bound to be better for your collection than all the silly Manson memorabilia. Another thing about the Manson case was I thought it was interesting that he was released around the time that the hippie movement was in full blossom in 1967, and so he kind of gravitated to them and brought with him all that he had from his family, which was cons, control junkies, sexual abusers, racists, Bible thumpers, and the like. And what if he had instead got his start 20 years later, same age, same circumstances, but was released in the 80s? What would he have been like if he didn't have the hippies to emulate and draw from the weakest of those flocks? He would have had no choice but to go after the people who were swarming all over the place in the Reagan-Falwell era, the Christians from the Christian Broadcasting Network, a billion-dollar empire. And so I'm picturing Charles Manson on his own TV evangelist show on the Christian Broadcasting Network, Squeaky and Sadie behind him saying, "Charlie, we got $50,000 from Wichita," or "Charlie, we got $2 million more from Pensacola." And him saying, "That's right, brothers and sisters, give to the Charles Manson Show at the Christian Broadcasting Network. We're telling you about the end times that are coming down. The apocalypse is coming, and the wrath of the Lord will come unto you. So give generously and support our family in Christ." Maybe we'll do that as a whole show, too, like Manson as TV evangelist. But anyway, that didn't happen. He got sentenced to death. The death penalty was overturned less than a year later, and he served 9 life sentences, where he remains. And if one agrees with the sentencing of the family, and few will dispute that it's appropriate, then we can say that is the precedent for being convicted of mass murder, and I believe he was convicted beyond the shadow of a doubt. So now that we accept the Manson verdict as a precedent for those kinds of crimes, and that the leader who does not participate is equally culpable for those crimes, then let's apply that where it also deserves to be. And that is the entire cast of characters in the Iran-Contra drama. Oliver North belongs in the cell right next to Manson. John Negroponte, now appointed by the current Bush regime as a U.S. ambassador for Central America, he is guilty of the murder and torture of thousands in Central America. He belongs in the cell down the hall from Manson, not awarded with the federal government position. Reagan, even in his pathetic current state, belongs in that same prison, as does the entire Reagan administration and that of his successors, who perpetrated human rights atrocities. And at their sentencing hearings, they should be identical to those of the Manson trial. We should hear the names of the victims, even if it takes 6 months to go through all the names, the details, the numbers of stab wounds, what was cut off, the circumstances of their death, and what everything the death squad did to them, and then sentenced to a life in prison in Corcoran or any other prison. Okay, talked out. Where is Marlon, the great engineer? He's Marlon is surfing Manson web pages. They moved on to more stuff. It's the next to the last song. So we're going to play a song for the other children of Charles Manson, the U.S. taxpayer-funded Contras of the 80s, the terrorist army of Jonas Savimbi of Angola, who tortured and murdered thousands and planted more landmines than any other nation on Earth, and all other perpetrators of torture and murder around the world by the thousands on a scale much larger than any little cult could ever dream of. This is a song about human rights abuses and people whom Washington got behind, figuratively. The song is called Washington Bullets. It's from the Sandinista album. And you are not ready? You are ready? Okay. It's ready. We're going to play a song from the Sandinista album by The Clash. The track is called Washington Bullets.
Oh, mama, mama, look there. The children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns jammed downtown. The killing clowns, the blood money men. Shooting gold. Oh, Washington Bullets again. Every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember the day and the days before the army came. Please remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium. Paradise. Those Washington bullets again. And in the Bay of Pigs in 1961, a banner for the playboy in the Cuban sun. For Castro is the color, is a redder than red. Those Washington bullets won Castro dead. Castro is the color, the color to a spray of lead. What he thinks of voting communist. Ask the Dalai Lama and the hills of Tibet. How many months did the Chinese get in a war-torn swamp? Stop any mercenary and check the British bullets in his armory.
Extremely dangerous.
Truth is in your ghettos, your jails.
Extremely dangerous.
Truth is in your ghettos, your jails.
We're extremely dangerous.
Truth is in your ghettos, your jails.
We're extremely dangerous.
Truth is in your ghettos.
I'm going to be very much what I am. I shall go back. I shall go back. I shall go back. I shall go back into principle. I shall go back. I shall go back. I shall go back into principle. I shall go back. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Okay, going to play another song for more children of Charlie. This time it's for the people who shot Amadou Diallo. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but he was murdered by the New York City police a couple years back, and he was shot 41 times. And if there was ever Helter Skelter that almost reached a Contra level, it was certainly this murder of the unarmed Diallo, who reached back for his wallet after being told to, and shot 41 times. And of course, there's many examples of this throughout the nation. A mentally ill man shot umpteen times. Who he was mentally ill, homeless, held a chair over his head at the Amtrak station and was shot after being surrounded by all these armed cops in year 2000. Another mentally ill man shot 6 times by police in Lindenwald, New Jersey. And all over the country, there's probably an incident like this near you. So, in yet another example of people heavily influenced by Manson and Helter Skelter, this goes out to those people. I believe nowadays people call them heroes, the murderous faction within the NYPD. This was Bruce Springsteen before he decided to put out a new album that licks Bush's ass and does all this, remember September 11th and flags and that kind of stuff, new record. And so this will be the last time I play him. But this is from his album of a year or two ago, and it's from the Live in New York City double CD, and it's about the savage murder of Amadou Diallo. The song is called American Skin, 41 Shots.
Just for living in it. her son ready for school. She says, on these streets, child rules, you've got to understand the rules. If an officer stops you, promise me you'll always be polite, and that you'll never ever run away, and promise mama you'll keep your hands inside. Well, is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret.
You gotta die, gotta die, gotta die for your government, die for your country, that shit. You gotta die.
You to give generously to help support the Philadelphia Police League for retarded children. This is the worthy organization that gives a retarded child the opportunity to become a policeman. Founded in 1844, the league provides training in every aspect of crime prevention, from tying one's own shoelace to lying under oath. Many of the youngsters aided by the league have risen to high position in law enforcement. In fact, all of us have. So please help us to rid the streets of morons, psychopaths, and mental defectives and put them where they belong, on the force.
In these days of economic uncertainty, it's hard to make an investment that protects your hard-earned money from today's spiraling inflation. That's why wise investors realize the tremendous value and high return of cardboard. Pshaw, you say. Or maybe you just say, phooey. Some people just spit. But consider just a few of the many products in your life made from cardboard. Modern furniture, mobile homes, fireplace mantles, coffins, hamburgers, boxes, and car doors. As I'm talking to you, the price of cardboard will go up from 1.2 cents to as high as 1.35 cents. That's over a tenth of a cent per ton. In the past, some people said they didn't have the room to store enough cardboard to make any money. Some people just said, phooey. But at these prices, more and more people are finding cardboard to be the smartest investment today. Cardboard. the backbone of America.
In the 1990s, it increased further. The military aid and training is going to go up again because it hasn't been yet successful, hasn't been completely successful. In the 1990s, Colombia moved to first rank among the terrorist states of Latin America. There were two reasons for that. One is that its own atrocities against its own population were, in fact, increasing. But the other reason is kind of like Turkey. The terrorist activities in the other countries had more or less succeeded, and therefore they were able to decline. In the 1980s, a couple hundred thousand people were massacred in Central America. There were probably millions of refugees and vast destruction, huge atrocities, all organized and directed and armed and by the United States, and it more or less worked. So the place is now quieter, kind of like southeastern Turkey, although there's a residue. The Jesuits in El Salvador, the surviving ones, many of them were murdered, but the ones who survived had a conference a couple of years ago in which they described what they reviewed the situation of the last 10 or 20 years of atrocities, and this report pointed out that what remains is what they called a culture of terror, in which people's aspirations are domesticated with regard to alternatives different from those of the powerful. In other words, you lose hope. You know, you get murdered and tortured and beaten enough, you essentially give up, and your aspirations are domesticated. Here, that's called peace, democracy, human rights, demonstration of our nobility, and so on and so forth. In Colombia, we haven't reached that happy stage yet, so it's necessary to move on with the punishment, to escalate the punishment until we can succeed in achieving a culture of terror in which aspirations are domesticated. Nobody should have any problems thinking of domestic analogs right here, incidentally.
Playing the old-time country music for as long as I can remember. But when we turn on the radio, all we can hear is the young country, the pop music, and the advertisements. We turn from station to station on our radio dial, and the music my pappy plays, and his pappy's pappy is nowhere to be found. How can you help get our voices on the radio for everyone to hear? Stop listening to Clear Channel stations and other corporate-owned stations like them, and support your local university and community stations. Don't have a community station in your town? Or want to learn how else you can tell Clear Channel to take their gosh darn music and shove it? Go to StopClearChannel.com or PrometheusRadio.org today. Yeehaw!
Okay, before the StopClearChannel.com PSA, you heard the farts doing injustice. Before that, Noam Chomsky spoken word. That track was called Pacification. Before the Frank Rizzo and Invest in Cardboard PSAs, you heard Anti-Flag doing Die for the Government. Bruce Springsteen did American Skin, 41 Shots. The Cyclone Rangers did It's Too Late. Spirit of Suicide did The Rise and the Fall of Bethlehem from their God is LSD CD. And started off with The Clash doing Washington Bullets from the Sandinista album. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. And tonight's theme is Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy. And I have way too little time to really cover everything, so I'll probably go over time at RadioVolta.org, and very soon we will say goodbye to the listeners who hear the relay broadcast at InfidelGuy.com. I will probably read this article next week, since there's a corporate theme anyway, payback corporate welfare. There's an interesting article by Jim Hightower called Stop the Corporate Takeover of Our Water, which is very informative and disturbing. And you can check him out at Jim Hightower, and that's just like the words high and tower, jimhightower.com, and see if you can find the article, Stop the Corporate Takeover of Our Water. And let's see, cover a few things and then play more music going over time at RadioVolta.org. Two good books I just got at Wood and Shoe Books and Records in Philadelphia, both from City Lights Publishers. This is highly recommended. September 11th and the U.S. War, subtitled Beyond the Curtain of Smoke, edited by Roger Burbach and Ben Clark. And that's from City Lights Book, citylights.com, and co-published by Freedom Voices, freedomvoices.org. Also from City Lights Book, citylights.com, The Terrorist Trap, September 11th and Beyond, by Michael Parente. And back to Manson, the prosecutor of the Charles Manson murder trial, Vincent Bugliosi, wrote a book in 2001 that is absolutely fantastic and details all the specifics of the coup that resulted in the illegal president of the United States, George W. Numbnuts, cokehead executioner, civilian massacrist, Enron Ho, 9/11 cover-upper, Dirty Bomb Bush. The book is entitled The Betrayal of America, How the Supreme Court Undermined the Constitution and Chose the President, by Vincent Bugliosi, forward by Molly Ivins and Jerry Spence. And that's published by The Nation Press, or Nation Books, the same people that publish the publication called The Nation, which is cool. And that's at nationbooks.org. The Betrayal of America, Vincent Bugliosi, nationbooks.org. Let's see. Some other things to cover before some more music. A great cartoon at the Infidel Guy site, where he's talking to a Christian cultist live on the air, is at infidelguy.com/ig16.html. Let's see. Coming up next Saturday is the anti-racist action we've been talking about. More Children of Charles Manson. The white power groups are going to be in Washington, D.C. on August 24th, and anti-racist action is going to be there ready to do an action. And that was the theme of last week's show, tribute to anti-racist action. And for information, you can check out the Reverend's friend Daryl at his webpage at onepeoplesproject.com. And check out the August 24th anti-racist action updates and the latest Reverend ranting about the viruses that target specific individuals and groups, including people pertaining to this show, at groups.yahoo.com/group/save our secularity. And there's an underline between each word, save our secularity. So it's groups.yahoo.com/group/save our secularity. Let's see. Oh, it's too late to cover Border Hack. The Border Hack weekend coming to an end this very evening. And if we get reports on that, the Delete the Border action, we will cover that next week. Let's see. There's still time to prepare to pie the ex-Dead Kennedys if you go to this corporate mall. Latest bullshit Woodstock kind of thing, like the Woodstock 90s events. The punk version of that is not only a total ripoff, but they booked the punk version of the New Monkees tour, a very bad karaoke band that is using the old Dead Kennedy's name and probably the most perverse abuse of a punk legacy in the history of punk. And the Reverend will still reward anybody who throws something that's like a pie or otherwise harmless and preferably biodegradable, like a pie, at each of the four so-called Dead Kennedys. And if you do so, you get one show per member that you pie, full of dedications, themes, selling the products of the cause or business that you are in, etc., etc., on this show. The tracks you heard from Noam Chomsky and the Farts was on the sampler Apocalypse Always, which is on Alternative Tentacles label, as is Jello Biafra's recordings and many other bands and spoken artists and benefit recordings. That's at alternativetentacles.com. And be sure to get the benefit for Afghan women. Dropping food on their heads is not enough. Benefit for RAWA, the women of Afghanistan. That comes with a sticker that has Osama and Bush that says, both want war, both unelected. And also a new skate rock or skate punk series on Alternative Tentacles, and re-releases of the ancient Butthole Surfers recordings, including Barbecue Pope. Can't wait for that. Let's see. For a contrast to the Frankensteins of this culture, the white supremacists, the Mansons, and the other people who are the byproducts of an ugly culture, based on the tone set at the top. If you'd like to see what setting a humane tone at the top produces, you could check out a documentary about Amsterdam called Sex, Drugs, and Democracy, which online is at anarchytv.com/SDD. And see Paul Krasner's new book, including the chapter on the Manson case, is called Murder, the Conspiracy Convention, and Other American Absurdities, introduction by George Carlin, published by Barricade Books, which is at barricadebooks.com. Video review. Natural Born Killers, of course, by Oliver Stone, which portrays, which is good at goofing on the crazy media coverage of serial killers and people who are become media darlings because they can become a distractionary issue. And rather than focusing on the forces that kill millions, focusing on some deranged nut job, like in this case, Mickey and Mallory, the main characters of Natural Born Killers. It's worth seeing, although it's very gruesome and not for the squeamish. Also, movies that actually give visual imagery to U.S.-sponsored atrocities in other countries, like Romero, which is based in El Salvador and shows the assassination of Archbishop Oscar Romero. Missing, which is made in Chile, or based in Chile, after the 1973 coup backed by Nixon, Kissinger, and other helter-skelter mass murderers. And Under Fire, primarily oriented towards Nicaragua, actually by the about the dictatorship before the Sandinista Revolution, and shows Ed Harris playing a murderous American mercenary. Let's see. Next week, once again, is Payback Corporate Welfare, and we're even going to cover the kinds of forms similar to the Social Security and food stamp forms that corporate America should be filling out if there's any semblance of justice in this nation. Let's see. Let's play a song. This is by Holly Near, and it's very early in her career. Let's see, we'll play the end of the song, Hang In There. The album is called Hang In There, and that will go right into No More Genocide. Here it is.
I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Oh, why are history books so full of lies? Just a lie, one of the many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Oh, why are the weapons of a war so young? The many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. And then came two men from the world of secrecy. That's just a lie. One of the many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Well, that's just a lie. One of the many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Well, that's just a lie. One of the many, and we've had plenty. I don't want more of the same. No more genocide in my name. Well, that's just a lie.
Position as manager now at Newcastle, Bill.
Have you ever been told off? What a would I implore the question you'd ask,
Bill.
So off, didn't you can put that in the radio as well. What a disgrace question.
Well, that, I just had to ask you that.
You
You just heard Locke Weld doing a song called Man's Son from their Son of Man single. Before that, Chumbawamba did Creepy Crawling from their Tub Thumper CD, and started off with Holly Near doing No More Genocide from her Hang In There album. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, going overtime at RadioVolta.org. Having said goodbye to the listeners at the relay broadcast of InfidelGuy.com, and if FM kicks in, which it was supposed to do at 11, but I heard it was down at first, then the show, or this portion of it, can also be heard on WPEB, which is at 88.1 FM in West Philadelphia. Let's see. I caught Dr. Susan Block's show last night and was glad that she had a really great show. I felt bad that I wasn't able to go to L.A. due to a whole lot of stuff I'm dealing with out here. I have to say stuff because it's after 11 o'clock and we might be on FM. But she had a great show. She had a Mammary Month with Dr. Susan Block featuring Mercy of 48 FF fame. And also at RadioSusie1.com, Tara Patrick getting her body painted, and clips that they're still showing from Midsummer Night's Orgy. And at drsusanblock.com, hot impassioned letters about Adelphia Gate, which is yet more corporate criminals, John Regas and Sons, the anti-sex censors and cable TV monopolists and censors of Dr. Susan Block and anti-bondage freaks, which made their arrest even funnier since they walked around in handcuffs. So there's more about Adelphia Gate, which was their company. And, of course, What's New and Terror Journals, drsusanblock.com and radiosusie1.com. Let's see, at fullgospelranch.com, Freedom from Theocracy Awards, Parler and Parler Archives, The Great Message Boards and Biblical America Game, The Baby Claudie Link, the hilarious Reverend Jimmy Swaggart crying graphic, and, of course, the new Reverend Bookburn page, fullgospelranch.com, and then the Reverend Bookburn page, Rev Bookburn, the fullgospelranch.com/Rev Bookburn. And if you go to the music or the message board, you can see what some white power knucklehead wrote in response to the announcement that the tribute to the anti-racist action organization was being planned for the show. It was last Sunday's show. And what this white power goof had to say about it, including his assertion that ARA folks don't have soap. And the final word on that subject was our very own Marlon, the great engineer, and who wrote a rebuttal. So you can see all that at the message board at fullgospelranch.com/Rev Bookburn, and then message boards, plus old playlists, and any day now, the updated Rev Bookford links. Okay. To support Camillo, who was arrested in the summer of 2000 by the Philadelphia police for the horrible crime of being a person who makes puppets for theatrical peaceful protests, you could check that out at Friends of Camillo. And the name is spelled C-A-M-I-L-O, friendsofcamillo.org. And that's a pretty stupid and retarded set of charges, but it's not beyond the city of Philadelphia to impose such a thing upon peaceful protesters. Let's see, check out my good friend, the Pie Man, at pieman.org. He just sent an email about there's a new push to unseat Senator Bob Barr. And I guess everyone knows by now that this guy is a complete scumbag. He was one of the anti-sex, family values, moral crusading, holy roller congressmen during the impeachment trial, and how terrible Clinton was for the BJ in the White House and all that. Turned out he had affairs. He licked whipped cream off the breasts of dancers. Mr. Anti-Abortion Bob Barr took a woman to a clinic, and I'm pretty sure she wasn't Mrs. Barr, to a clinic, paid for it, and took her there, interestingly enough. And he's really anti-medical marijuana. And so the medical marijuana advocates are launching an all-out campaign to unseat dirtbag Bob Barr, but there's no web link. So if you write, you can get that email forwarded to you, and it includes a little video clip. And that's from Mr. Pie Man, who is findable at pieman.org. And if you want to write to me for that, Bob Barr mailing, or the playlist, or anything else, revbookburn@fullgospelranch.com. Let's see. Advanced planning for the Million Marijuana March at groups.yahoo.com/group/Million Marijuana March. Updates on Colombia, the drug war, Central America, and from an independent media viewpoint, narconews.com, narco spelled with a C, narconews.com. Articles on the faith-based initiatives. I guess the Manson family would be qualified for a faith-based grant, since technically they were a faith-based organization. If this Bush proposal to further obliterate social services gets passed. Anyway, there's articles on faith-based initiatives for the benefit of organizations, faith-based organizations other than the Manson family, as well as religious school vouchers and new articles on current pending legislation on church politicking at Americans United for the Separation of Church and State at AU.org. Countless books at the Open Media Pamphlet Series published by Seven Stories Press, sevenstories.com. Let's see. Article, Theocracy and Sexual Freedom, by South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition at sjcdc.org. And at that same webpage for the South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition, sjcdc.org, if you go to the links page, you can see a link for Walk Away for Ex-Fundamentalists. So if anyone needs a resource, either to deprogram from Manson or, in the Beach Boys case, Manson and the Bush crime family, or they need deprogramming from the XXX Church, the Promise Keepers, the Army of God, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or any other nutcase group, you can click on the link for Walk Away for Ex-Fundamentalists on the link pages of South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition, sjcdc.org. Father Pavone of Priests for Life is in Pittsburgh in the middle of a five-day retreat, but they're also going to harass the local clinics. So if you are a listener in Pittsburgh, or you're going to be in Pittsburgh, or you know somebody in Pittsburgh, please communicate to find these people and shout at the top of your lungs repeatedly, child molesters, especially if they're harassing women at an abortion clinic. And then if you get to elaborate, you can say things like, prosecute the bishops and cardinals for covering up priest child sexual abuse. And if you know us rotten or anti-flag, let them know. They might be able to get some people out there. Let's see, some more from the real 60s. Bill Baird, who helped women regarding birth control and abortion rights before the Roe versus Wade decision and his own Supreme Court victory legalizing birth control in 1972, Baird versus Eisenstadt. You can check out Bill Baird and Joni Scott's Pro-Choice League online at prochoiceleague.com. Again, you can check out the Real 60s via the 60s papers edited by Stu Albert and Judy Gumbo at Stu Albert's Yippie Reading Room, findable by search engine, and if it's not updated tonight, when the updated Rev Bookburn links page go up, it'll be a link by Stu Albert for the Real 60s. It's Wooden Shoe Books and Records in Philadelphia, a nonprofit collective with tons of music, periodicals, books of every kind, political, free thought, hemp-related, sexual freedom, a lot of more politics, music stuff, every kind of thing in there, and really great people. Wooden Shoe Books and Records in Philadelphia on 5th Street, between South Street and Lombard. And that's where I got some of the stuff that I brought tonight that I won't have time to play. I still have a bunch of tracks, and yes, I have the requests. There's one song, you can probably guess what it was, that a whole lot of people requested for tonight's show, and you can probably guess what that is, considering the Manson theme. Let's see. From truthout.org, an article. Yes, we need a regime change in their rogue state, by Adrian Hamilton. That's at truthout.org. New from Arianna Huffington, Arianna Online, and then Columns. A democracy on corporate autopilot. That is really good. The Godless Americans March this autumn in D.C., information godlessamericans.org. The People's Strike, also coming in D.C. this fall. Information at abolishthebank.org. And in December, the Harm Reduction Conference, featuring keynote address by Dr. Joycelyn Elders, and that alone will be worth it. Information by the Harm Reduction Coalition, harmreduction.org. Conference sponsored by numerous AIDS services providers, hepatitis C support groups, needle exchange organizations, people of color, advocates for their community members stricken with AIDS, Dance Safe, Danzine, and many others, harmreduction.org, Jennifer Hunter Consulting Online Domination and Phone Training Service at jenniferhunterconsulting.com or 215-627-JEN, 215-627-JENN, and be sure to say the Reverend sent you. To support TL and Susie Wall, the married couple arrested and charged with prostitution for their sexual technique workshops, where to check out their video line, including an erotic version of Star Wars, which probably includes big laser guns. I have to see this tape. You can check out VideoAlt, videoalt.com. And if I do get around to getting that and seeing it, you will get a review. Okay, talked out. Definitely talked out. So, going to play some more music. Actually, I'm going to start with comedy. Let's see. This is by Paul Krasner, and really I recommend getting the Murder at the Conspiracy Convention book and that chapter on Manson. He did some of the best research on the Manson case, including the parts left out of it. And this is his fifth spoken word and comedy CD called Irony Lives. It's probably going to come out this month, and it was a live appearance And the introduction was by the guy who does the voice for Homer Simpson. But since Fox TV, total assholes, owned the voice of Homer Simpson, they wouldn't allow it for use on the CD. But you can hear it at Paul Krasner's website at Paul Krasner, Paul KRASSNER.com. And you can hear it as an MP3. This is from Irony Lives. And this track is called Rebirth of Irony.
This album is going to be titled Irony Lives. And, of course, it stems from the fact that it was pronounced that the age of irony is dead. And it was ironic that... It was ironic I didn't even finish that sentence. It was ironic that Graydon Carter, the editor of Vanity Fair, and Roger Rosenblatt, a contributor to Time magazine, got into a fist fight over who said it first. But irony abounds. My favorite irony is the fact that all of those American flags that we saw were made in China, in slave labor camps, where the only job perk they had was listening to pirated CDs. So it was also ironic that Clear Channel, which told radio stations all over the country what records they recommended not be played, among them was Alanis Morissette singing Isn't It Ironic? And the irony there is that that song isn't even about irony. Yeah, I mean, it has lyrics like, Isn't it ironic if it rains at your wedding? That's not ironic. I mean, it sucks, but it's not ironic. It would be ironic if her father was an umbrella salesman. It's ironic that now African Americans who have been victims of racial profiling for decades after decades are now profiling Arab Americans. There's an Arab American comedian named Ahmed Ahmed who has a line. He says, I went to the airport and they asked me if I packed my bags myself. And I said yes. And then they arrested him. Maybe I should do more of his material. The most frightening thing I heard George W. Bush say in this whole mess was, God is not neutral. My whole spiritual path depends on God being neutral. I mean, my concepts of God have changed over the years. I was playing high school baseball, and I would be there at bat, and I would be praying, please, God, help me get a hit. Please, God, help me get a hit. And then I had a religious epiphany. I realized that the pitcher was saying, please, God, let me strike him out. Please, God, let me strike him out. And suddenly I realized they canceled each other out. And it was up to me and it was up to him. Up until that point, I believed that God was a micromanager, took care of all of these different things. My concept of God changed as I grew more mature and thought of God as the ultimate delegator of responsibility. So to humans, you know, so, all right, you take care of the whales, you take care of the rainforest, water pollution, gay rights, abortion rights, prison reform, wages for housework, you know, all of the different causes. There are so many that they overlap now, as you remember from that famous civil rights song, We Shall Overlap. By the time I got bar mitzvahed, I had become an atheist. But I went through the whole thing anyway just to please my parents.
Okay, this is the very, very predictable request. Since announcing and sending the promo with the title of tonight's theme, I guess it's very predictable that some would request this next song by the Beatles. This goes out to all the nut job religious cultists, Christian, Islamic, or smaller cults, or what have you, that are violent, including the anti-abortion terrorists. Here is the Beatles doing Helter Skelter.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. I'm coming down five miles above you.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. And I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. And I get to the bottom and I see you again. But do you, don't you want me to make it?
Down in Australia when the Waco debacle ended, and I was very bummed because I thought that was the most fascinating story of the year, bar none. And everyone was so upset with that guy because he called himself Jesus, right? And I said, come on, you know, the guy's real name is Vernon. Let him be Jesus for a couple of months. You know what I mean? What's it to you? Who's going to follow a Messiah named Vernon anyway? You got to be Jesus. That's part of the Messiah deal. And Vernon Spake. Yeah, yeah. What are we doing? I'm following Vernon. Where y'all going? To the drive-in. Joe Bob Briggs in the movie was real good. Vernon's going. He's my Messiah. He said he'd get us some beef jerky. Hey! I follow Vernon. Isn't that weird, though? People always snap and think they're Jesus. How come no one ever snaps and thinks they're Buddha? Particularly in America, where more people resemble Buddha than Jesus. I'm Buddha. You're Bubba. I'm Buddha now. All I got to do is change two letters on my belt. Bubba. Buddha. Come over here and read my scripture. Vernon's a false prophet. Buddha Bubba's the real man. But I was in Australia, and the Australians had a big contingency at the Branch Davidian compound. I'm from Texas, so they were very curious. They were asking me all about it. You know, oh, this guy's so weird, isn't he? This guy, Koresh, is so weird. And I was thinking, well, wait a minute. Frustrated rock musician with a messianic complex, armed to the teeth, and trying to fuck everything that moves. I don't know how to tell you this. Sounds like every one of my friends in Austin. I don't know if this is going to be an isolated incident. I'm waiting for Will Sexton to build a compound somewhere. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what. It's an Austin name. I picked it out of a hat. Pick your own Austin guitarist and have fun with the joke. But I thought the whole thing was an absolute disaster and a debacle. And if any of y'all have been watching public access and seen the footage, which was not shown on any major news media source, of the tanks, Bradley tanks, shooting fire into the compound, which I think went against the party line story, which was that they shot tear gas in order to help the mothers and the children to get out, to convince them while they're destroying the compound, they're getting the mom and children down. The soft sell is definitely the FBI's way. And anyway, so the major news said that the Branch Davidians started the fire. If I'm not mistaken, correct me when I go off the story here. And that the Branch Davidians started the fire, and all they did was shoot in tear gas. And yet I've seen with my own eyes and my squeegee third eye footage of a Bradley tank shooting fire into the compound, which... Isn't that odd that no major news source has picked up on that? How do you think that's newsworthy? Because that basically means that the government, from the FBI, the ATF, up to Janet Reno, including Clinton, are liars and murderers. And wait, there's more. And I mean, the implications are vast. You know, and if the ATF and FBI had any honor, if there was any honor left or dignity on this planet, they would commit Harry Caray while first admitting what they've done. They'd kill themselves because they are liars and murderers. Yeah. Oh, we had to bust the compound down because we heard child molestation was going on. Yeah, if that's true, how come we don't see Bradley tanks knocking down Catholic churches? I'm talking if child molestation is actually your concern. Well, there's a methamphetamine lab on this. No, there wasn't. And not one child came out of there saying they were molested. Not one child. They don't want the voice of reason spoken, folks, because otherwise we'd be free. Otherwise we wouldn't believe their fucking horseshit lies, nor the fucking propaganda machine, the mainstream media, and buy their horseshit products that we don't fucking need and become a third world consumer fucking plantation, which is what we're becoming. Fuck them. They are liars and murderers. All governments are liars and murderers. And I am now Jesus. Now... This is my compound. I'm sorry if anyone here is Catholic. I'm not sorry if you're offended. I'm actually sorry just the fact that you're Catholic.
Okay, you heard Bill Hicks from his Rant in E Minor CD. The track was called Waco. Before that, the Beatles did Helter Skelter. Paul Krasner did Rebirth of Irony from the Irony Live CD. And we heard Lockwell doing Man's Son. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, going overtime at RadioVolta.org. And tonight's theme has been Charles Manson and his influence on U.S. foreign policy. Check out the new Reverend Bookburn webpage at FullGospelRanch.com/RevBookburn. And... if you want to write to me, you can write RevBookburn@FullGospelRanch.com and ask for the playlist, make requests, give feedback, or what have you. And if there's any in-betweens, let me know, because most of the people I hear from like either really love the show or they're from the groups that I always mock, and give me a lot of hate. So I hear from the lovers and the haters. So if you're in between, be sure to write to me and say, hey, I'm in between. And let me know that. But I appreciate all feedback, including the real entertaining stuff from the Muscleheads, who are the targets of this show. Let's see. Another thing I forgot to mention that I just picked up at Wooden Shoe. Stop the Madness, October 5th through 15th, 2002. No transportation, no production, no reactors, no weapons, no testing, no waste, no dumping, no mining, no development on native lands, and 510 years of injustice. Wake up, rise up, honor, resist. October 5th through 15th. For more information, one can call 1-800-471-4737 or check out shundahai.org. I better spell that. S-H-U-N-D-A-H-A-I. S-H-U-N-D-A-H-A-I.org. And this next track is also a song by Charlie, but it's done by another band. This is from the Spaghetti Incident. This is Guns N' Roses doing Look at Your Game, Girl.
Mind game. say your love's not enough. If and you can't be true, oh, you can't tell those lies, baby, but you're only fooling you. Can you feel, are those feelings real? Look at your game, girl. Go on, look at your game, girl. If and you can't feel, and those feelings ain't real, then you better stop trying, or you're gonna play crying. Stop trying, or you're gonna play crying. Stop trying. That's the game. Sad, sad game. Mad game.
Thanks, cheers. Jack.
Okay, you had to get through another track to hear the one I was trying to play, that was Guns N' Roses from the Spaghetti Incident, and you had to listen to their cover of an old song from an extremely stupid band called Fear. Actually, this whole album is covers. So you had to hear I Don't Care About You before hearing Look at Your Game, Girl. And that was from the Spaghetti Incident. Coming up next at Radio Volta, a due at 12, which, according to this clock, is any minute, is DJ Derek, who is not here. So I'm going to play some more music until he gets here. And next week, once again, is Payback Corporate Welfare. And we'll talk a lot about corporate crime and the corporatization of water. And corporate welfare and all kinds of stuff like that next week, August 25th, of 2 weeks from tonight, undecided. Your input could have an impact on what to do for Labor Day on September 1st. And on September 8th and September 15th, the two shows surrounding September 11th anniversary, parts 1 and 2 of Remember September 11th, Forget the Media Hype. And those will be very special. Okay. Well, there's no DJ Derek, and I am excited because I just got a new CD at Wooden Shoe called Pandemonium. And I'm seeing a lot of German on this the CD liner notes, so I'm going to assume they are from Germany. And there's a lot of anti-fascism and anti-racism songs, anti-Nazi songs, so let's pick one. Let's see. What is this? Verschwitzer von, no, that's the wrong line. Verfallen gegen Nazis. All right. Oops, wrong CD. Okay, from the CD, it's a double CD called Sex, Drugs, Stocks, An Old Man Talks to Himself by Pandemonium. We'll play a couple of tracks until DJ Derek gets here at RadioVolta.org. And check out DJ Pages and The Reverend Is In if you want to see the old Reverend Bookburn page. The new one at FullGospelRanch.com/RevBookburn. This is Pandemonium doing Verfallen gegen Nazis.
Heute war ein Lied, ein Singen.
es muss geschehen sein. Gib mir deine Hand, deine schwarze Hand. Lebe wohl, mein Schatz. Lebe wohl, mein Schatz. Denn wir fahren. Denn wir fahren. Denn wir fahren.
Okay, you heard two tracks from Pandemonium. That was No Reaction and Verfahren gegen Nazis, which was dedicated to OnePeople'sProject.com, an anti-racist action. The people who are organizing an anti-racist action this coming Saturday. And check that out at onepeoplesproject.com,
yeah.
The August 24th anti-racist action. I'm going to play another track from the Ward Churchill CD. It's called In a Pig's Eye, subtitled Reflections on the Police State, Repression, and Native America. And this is also at Alternative Tentacles label, alternativetentacles.com, and distributed by AK Press, akpress.org. And with all the undue overexposure that the Manson case and even the Manson adventures in prisons get in the media, there's definitely too little about a case that is worthy of watching. A Native American political prisoner wrongly convicted in 1975, Leonard Peltier. And this track is from Ward Churchill's In a Pig's Eye CD, and it's called Peltier's Freedom. And if the web address is still the same, it's freepeltier.org, or just peltier.org, P-E-L-T-I-E-R. Here is Peltier's Freedom.
What I want to know is, so what, it came down the last time that Clinton could have pardoned him, and I knew he won, but the FBI pulls this cop out. It's a sick day, and they march against the idea, and they put out the lies that, in fact, he was. They pull out the Lynn Crooks line, yes, he was the premeditated cold killer.
Yeah.
Nothing is done against these characters, this show of blue flute power.
Funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Nobody makes sticks up a hand or a head.
I know, I saw them out there, and I saw their little placards and stuff, and I know this is the first time in FBI history this has happened, so that gives you some indication of how seriously they take it. But now you've got this rabble out there with signs, and they're protesting, and they're challenging authority, and they're right out in front of the White House, and I'm looking for the phalanx of blue guys, tired guys with their riot clubs, and their tear gas, and their pepper spray, and all the stuff that they did at the WTO and in Quebec,
right,
and
right.
Yeah, right. And that probably had some effect on Clinton, but I don't think it had the effect. Remember that this is the entity that will be investigating Slick Willie for his nefarious dealings, alleged, in the aftermath of his leaving office. Now, they can either softball that or they can hardball that. Don't you think somebody sat him down and said, Bill, you know, we can lose the paperwork and forget about this, and you can die before we ever have a conclusion to the case, or we can play serious knuckleball and you're apt to be the first former president who's facing actual prison time, because it's unlikely that W is going to give you a pardon. See? So here's the deal. You don't pardon Peltier, you walk. You do pardon Peltier, your life's going to be misery for the foreseeable future, and you may actually end up in a cell alongside the guy or where he sat. Bill Clinton traded Peltier's freedom for his own.
You think so? Was that you?
Well, he's not a completely stupid man. You know, and this is kind of a no-brainer equation, so...
I don't think the National Security State would ever let Clinton go to prison, but I did want to hear your take on that.
Well, it just might do it to prove it's egalitarian and justice is blind, all that nonsense, you know? Every once in a while, an example must be made. Hey, we're going to Allenwood, not to Atlanta, understand. And it may have been for 6 months rather than 60 years. And maybe he wouldn't have gone at all. But it's still, nonetheless, going to be a whole lot better quality of life if you don't than if you do.
But again, the boys in blue can act as goons on their own behalf whenever they want to.
What's that got to do with Clinton?
Well, no, the power that they can put out against the so-called criminal element, that they're standing up for the right, that they're standing up for the good in America.
Yeah, but I thought we were talking about Bill Clinton.
No, I had rather.
Okay.
It's both things.
Okay. Yeah, there was never much of a possibility that Bill, let's put another 100,000 cops on the street, Clinton was going to give a pardon to Leonard Peltier, which says, pardon says, you killed two FBI agents, but it's okay now. He's not going to tell his premier goon squad that it's okay for them to get killed. This is not good for morale.
Right.
So there was never more than an anorexic possibility that something was going to happen in that regard. But hope springs eternal, and you can't deny people hope.
Right.
It's helpful if the hope isn't false. Back there.
Any speculation on why COINTELPRO is now?
Not under that rubric. Usually they call it counterterrorism these days, okay? And everything they were doing in counterintelligence domestically focused, in COINTELPRO, in other words, basically was legitimated in a series, not so much of statutes, but of executive orders that were signed by Ronald Reagan during the first 4 years of his regime.
Okay, this is Reverend Bookburn signing off. I'll be back next week. Next at RadioVolta.org, DJ Derek. And here he comes.